this time Helen has a quick announcement about the upcoming events.
Obviously about the block party. All hands on deck because we need everybody possible who can help us. I'll need some help. I already have a few people have said they would help before. We need to be here about 2 hours before just to get things set up so when people come, we have everything ready, going warm, so that they come and we're set. We're going to need people afterwards. It's a massive cleanup, so I need lots of hands on deck to clean up, to help us finish that. I'm going to need some people during the block party just to help us out, to make sure things are filled. Just things throughout the whole day. So if anybody can help with anything, please let me know. We will take every hand that can help us. Also, we need coolers. We need lots of coolers. So if you have a cooler that you can let us use, if you'll just get it into the kitchen, bring it any Sunday, but about a week before, if you can, so that we know how many coolers we have, because we divide up the pop and mark them so that everything is, people don't have to go searching. We need that. Please bring desserts. We need desserts. We're going to have the food there, but we're going to need desserts to provide for our guests. Okay? So thank you. Hopefully, we'll get more help.
Appreciate it. Let's review here. So if we have a cooler and can loan it, let's bring it by Sunday, August 11th, if we can. If someone can make a dessert, please let Helen know right away so she can know that we'll have that covered. And then she needs help with preparing and setting up the food beforehand. A couple people to help make sure it's out there and warmed and ready for people during. And then just every pair of hands possible to help with the cleanup. Last year, a wonderful group of people did just all jump in, and the cleanup went so much faster than the setup. And it was a good time as we were putting stuff away and talking and fellowshipping. So it'll be great, a fun thing to participate in, but it's coming up close now, far less than a month away, just about 2 or 3 weeks away now, August the 17th. But I'm getting excited. I can't wait to connect with our neighbors. And while we're there, let's remember that that's why we're there. We want things to go well, and we'll try to plan as best as we can, but until it's history, it's fiction, right? Jesus is the one that'll be controlling the flow of events, and if push comes to shove, let's focus on people even more than our tasks for that day. But we want to have a good impact on our community, and it's just a wonderful thing that God's given us the opportunity to do. So thank you, Helen. All right, so let's turn our attention to God's word at this time. We'll be still in the Gospel of Luke, this time at the beginning of chapter 11, as Jesus gives some very practical teaching to his followers, and something that we do every Sunday in the service is highlighted here. So let's stand together in honor of Luke chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Open your heart, because this is the word of the Lord. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door's already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And this is God's word. You can be seated. So as the scene opens, Jesus is praying and they're hearing him pray and they're just like, wow, right? Wow, the way that he prays, that's just amazing. And it made them feel almost like children, like they didn't know at all how to pray. And so they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And I think there's such a good example to us there. Because they didn't just say, wow, Jesus has got that together. He's got that prayer thing covered. That's not our thing. So we'll do our thing, and Jesus, you do that praying thing, and we're good, right? But maybe that's what we do. I'm not going to say specifically. But this morning, I'm glad that the disciples didn't respond that way. They heard Jesus praying. And what was awakened within them was a hunger and a desire to be able to pray that way. Because we're living our lives and we see that the world is broken. We see that there are needs. We know that we have needs and worries and concerns in our own life. But when we're praying for only those things, we know that there's probably something more that I should be doing with this thing called prayer. And so they had a sense of inadequacy about how to pray, but they wanted to get beyond that inadequacy. And so they did a really good thing. They went to Jesus, amen? They went directly to him, and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Now today, we feel challenged to pray in very, very similar ways. And when we hear someone pray publicly who knows how to do that pretty well, we may feel, oh, I could just never put the words together quite like that. Well, there's good news, because we don't have to try to pray exactly the way that someone else prays. Jesus doesn't say, do it exactly like I did, because I imagine that when Jesus prayed, there were a lot of words filled in, and there was a depth of insight to what he was praying for that the average person might not catch on to, especially not right at the beginning. So Jesus kept it very simple. But the issue is, whether we're feeling inadequate or not, Jesus does command his disciples to pray. He doesn't say, well, if you decide that prayer is kind of important, here are some things you can do. He said, when you pray, say this. And it's kind of like he's saying, say at least this. When you're praying, cover these bases in your prayers. So, as we're living our daily lives and we're seeing the needs in the world and we're thinking that we need to be saying something to God about it, how are we doing? How are you doing with your daily attempts at prayer, at connecting with God? Some of us love prayer and we'll spend extended blocks of time praying. Although it seems like fewer and fewer people are doing that. It seems like even the people who used to do that may not do that as much as they used to. Our world is filled with so many distractions, and we're constantly bombarded with concerns from the news and the weather that I think we're prone to worry and stew more than we are, like we sang this morning, to take it to the Lord in prayer. Amen? So I'm asking you this morning, how are you doing in that environment? How are you doing at answering the challenge that we have been given to pray each day and to ask God for what we need and to honor and glorify him? It's a good time in the summer when things are moving just a little bit slower. We're just about to ramp things up in a couple of weeks here. We're going to have a lot of events, even starting this Wednesday night. So it's a good time for us to take stock of our prayer lives, because we don't want to dive in to all this effort if our connection with God is not where it could be and where it needs to be. This morning, if we're going to be a godly people, we need to be a praying people. And if we're going to know God and experience the blessings that God has for us, then prayer is a key part of that for every single person in this room. So let's take a look at it. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, and so let's break down these sections of the prayer so we can understand it and see how to apply it in our lives. First of all, notice that this is a little bit pared down. This is a briefer version of what we call the Lord's Prayer. Now, that doesn't mean that one's right and the other is wrong. It just means in this case, those who were with Jesus and heard him say this when he taught them, that he kept it more simple. Or maybe it's the way those people remembered it. Or maybe there's more than one occasion where Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray, and sometimes it was more simple, and sometimes it was a little bit more elaborate. But either way, we've taken it as a guide to prayer, and so it's a good way to pray on a regular basis. We do the Lord's Prayer every Sunday because I want you to have a model for your own prayer life, that it could be a constant rhythm for you. Sometimes when we're trying to figure things out and we're hurting and we're doubting and we're feeling alone, sometimes we need a prayer we can quickly pull up. Amen? And when it's something that we've been saying from memory or at least over and over again, those words may begin to flow and get us started in our time with God. But Jesus says, whatever the situation is, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. So let's say that together. Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. So simple, but saying so much. Amen? There's lots of things that we can call God, and God's been called pretty bad stuff over the years, I would imagine, when people are upset and mad. But to call God Father, wow, I wish we had time to just really interact on this so you could share some of your thoughts. But all that's wrapped up this morning when we call God Father in prayer is just incredible, and we could spend the rest of our lives trying to explore what that means. But it means that it's someone from whom we descended, amen? Someone who has passed something on to us. Someone who has set an example for us. But also someone with whom we have a relationship, right? We don't just go around calling thousands of people Father in our everyday conversations. That's reserved for very special relationships. And in most cases, a relationship of respect. So when we call God Father, it's saying that we acknowledge all of the wonderful and good and personal things that God has done for us in caring for us, in watching over us, tending to our needs and setting an example for us. But it's also acknowledging the respect that is there, right? God is not our buddy, right? And he's not our co-pilot, amen? He's the pilot. We're the co-pilot. So we call God Father in order to acknowledge both the goodness and the tenderness and the relational part of what God does in our lives, but also to acknowledge the authority that God rightfully has over us. So Jesus really introduces this idea of calling God Father. And of course, as the Son of God, he's the one who's uniquely positioned to introduce this idea. but it's somewhat new. It's not that no one had ever referred to God as Father before, but Jesus brings it front and center when he's talking about God, when he's praying, and when he's teaching others about prayer. So it's huge. And then that simple phrase, hallowed be your name. Now, when I was a kid, I thought it meant hallowed. Like, we were, like, somehow God's name was going to be hollowed out. I thought, does that mean it has a cool echo? What does that mean, you know? And I've heard kids say, hollered be your name. I've heard yellow be your name. I've heard so many wonderful and cute examples of that as kids are trying to figure out what that means. But it basically means holy and revered, right? So your name is held in high esteem and counted as something special and glorious and worthy. And then that phrase, your kingdom come. That is such a powerful thing to pray. And I don't know if we realize what it means. It means it's not going to be our kingdom that's coming. Amen? That means it's not going to be our will being done. That means God's will emerging, breaking forth in the world, changing every circumstance and bringing things into alignment with God's will in all things. Do we want that? Do we want that enough to really pray for it on a daily, all the time basis? Or do we just want a little God on the side to make our lives a little easier and more convenient, or to cheer us up when we're aware of the need to be cheered up? Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? Your kingdom come means God, have your way. And so it is a challenge to pray in this way. Because if it's God's kingdom that's coming, then human beings are going to have to align themselves to God's rule. And that begins in our hearts, in our minds, in our everyday lives. Are you with me this morning? So God is our Father. He cares about us and has authority. We want to glorify him in all things, and we want to see his kingdom coming. Our prayer is off to an awesome start at this point. And we are set in the right mindset. Before we begin bringing our needs and our concerns and our laundry list before God, we've already reestablished who's in charge and that it's not a distant and cold relationship, but a personal and loving one. And yet one that is to result in his glory and the furtherance of his kingdom. And we have good reason to pray for this way because to pray this way because in our own lives we've seen the benefit of the kingdom coming. Amen. We know what a blessing it is when we felt far from the kingdom of God, when we were doing things our own way and we were not living in obedience to him, and then now to know the blessings of forgiveness and love, and to be part of the family of God, we know that's all good. And now we want to keep growing into that. It's not done when we just get inside the door. There's so much more to the fullness of the kingdom of God. And we're wanting it not just for ourselves, but for everyone. That's why we do dinner church. That's why we have block parties. It's not to get more rear ends in the seats. It's to see the kingdom of God breaking forth in the lives of people. Amen? And that is to be our number one thing to pray for. Then and only then do we move on to what's next. And let's read this together. Give us each day our daily bread. So God does care about our needs. And he even wants us to come to him and to ask for what we need. And this is important. It's not just so we'll be constantly focused on our own needs. Because if we're praying this way, our own needs will become somewhat secondary. We'll have this larger picture in mind. We'll be thinking big before we even look at situations and how to respond to them. Before we even pray about circumstances, We'll be reminding ourselves of who God is and that he's up to something big. But then we bring to him these needs. We do need food to eat. And that's another reason why we're offering dinner church and making it a fellowship meal for those in our community who may need it. Because everyone needs to eat, but not everyone gets to eat. Amen? Are you hearing me? People closer to you than you would imagine struggle. Sure, we can always find an example where someone takes advantage. Sure, we can always find an example where people have way more than they need. But Jesus cares about everyone's need, and he is about seeing those needs met. But we sang a song this morning that used this phrase as a metaphor. We said, "This is my daily bread." And what was it? It wasn't about food. It was about God's word being spoken directly into our lives. And so there are some things that matter even more than food. Jesus used this phrase as a metaphor in another situation where he said, "My food is to do the will of my Father." And so that connects right into having just prayed, "Your kingdom come," to give us each day our daily bread. So we do bring our needs to God, and God knows they matter, and they're fairly high on this list, but they're not first, amen? And they're in a context, and they are meant to be a way that we're acknowledging that God is providing all of these things for us. Give us each day. We may go through some lean times where, okay, we made it through today, but we don't know for sure what's going to happen tomorrow. But that's why he said, "Give us each day." Amen? So we don't worry about tomorrow. We do what we can. We plan the best we can. But we trust that there will be new mercies in the morning and that God will make a way when there seems to be no way. And we ask him, and we trust him daily. And I think God wants us coming to him constantly. He doesn't want us overly comfortable. He wants us reaching out to him because that's when we're at our best. Paul said, "When I am weak, then I am strong," right? We want to have it all together. We want to appear very perfect and professional in all things. And yet, sometimes we're stumbling along and we're broken. And we're having to lean on God and the goodness of others. But there's nothing wrong with that. We need to drop our pride and we need to say, "Give us each day, Lord, our daily bread." I'll tell you something else that's important about praying this way. That we not be trusting in ourselves or in our retirement funds or in anything else. Anything good that flows into our lives, it comes from God. Amen? Anything we have in the bank, it's because God blessed us and allowed it to be there. We should not worship that. Amen? And we should not seek out for it at the sacrifice of other things that matter. So give us each day, Lord, our daily bread and help us keep it simple. In trusting you. And now he goes to stepping on toes. Now it's about to get real up in here, right? Forgive us our sins. Anyone in here ever been forgiven of sins? Raise it up, man. Don't be a liar. Yeah. Lord, forgive us our sins. Let these words never roll off our lips easily. We're asking God to do what he said he would do, to literally forgive us. But we're talking about something that is life and death. Amen? We're talking about something that happened at incredible cost. Amen? We cannot just come in like a bull in a china shop and grab some forgiveness and go on our way. We humbly come before the one who sacrificed all. And we say, "Forgive us our sins." And sometimes I have wished the next part was not there. Anybody with me on that? Every now and then, I've wanted a break on this next one. But it is there. And it is a declaration. For we also, let's read this together. For we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Do you know what it means to forgive? Well, now, the people say forgive and forget. I don't know if you can really forget, but you can let the relationship move forward. Amen? Forgiving means letting go. I mean, imagine if you ask God to forgive you for a thought that you held on to that was not pleasing to him. And imagine God giving you the cold shoulder for the next 3 weeks. What would that be like, right? You couldn't move forward. And you know that God would never do that, and yet it's easy for us to fall into those traps. So we're asking God to forgive us, but we're doing it acknowledging that we also forgive everyone else. Now, it was about as easy for God to forgive all of us as it is for us to forgive all of everyone else. Do you hear what I'm saying? And I know this morning that sometimes it hurts. And sometimes we have been wronged so deeply, we can barely take a breath and we feel it. And it's there with us. But understand, that's the way it is for God. Sin grieves the heart of God as well. And he went to great sacrifice for us to be forgiven. We know about that. We know about Good Friday, amen? We know what Jesus went through, and we know all of God's planning that led up to those amazing moments of love. We know that he still forgives now, even though sin is real, and even though sin hurts. So Jesus knows all of that. It's not like he didn't know it was hard for you, so you can ignore that one. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? He knows more than anyone else how costly forgiveness is. And yet he says, when we pray, we should ask God for forgiveness. But we also are just saying, we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Now, one thing I like about the Lord's Prayer is that it gives us words when we can't find the words. Amen? And when your heart is just dragging along behind and doesn't want to go there, right? You can still pray the Lord's Prayer. And you can still get yourself to say these words. And you can begin to let your heart soften in this area. Do you hear what I'm saying? Sometimes it takes time to forgive. But the only way we're going to get there is by following God's command and praying these words. And hoping and praying for God to help our hearts to get there. But if we hold on to unforgiveness, it is one of those few things that can destroy us. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? You're playing with fire when you choose not to forgive. Now, that doesn't mean you choose to say the thing didn't matter. It doesn't mean that you have to throw yourself back into a vulnerable situation again. But it does mean that you have to let others go. You have to release the negativity that you have. And you have to ask God to forgive them. And in your heart, move and grow toward forgiveness. And in some situations, it might take years to overcome and get to that place. But as a Christian, it's not an option for us. We need to get there. Amen? So what are we doing? And praying this way is a great way to try to get there. Well, I hope that this stuff matters to us and that we are really on the edge of wanting Jesus to teach us how to pray and to know how to live into this. This last one, it's been in the news lately as some have been recommending that we should change how it is in the Bible because it says, lead us not into temptation. And some have implied that that means that otherwise God would lead us into temptation. And I think that's really just playing with language too much. It's very simple to understand what Jesus means here. He's like, Lord, help us by all means possible to avoid the worst kinds of circumstances that will make us likely to stumble. I mean, that's a lot of words I'm adding in there. But when he says, lead us not into temptation, and the next phrase that's been added in other settings is, but deliver us from evil, we see what the meaning is. We're not doubting God's goodness. We're not saying that we won't go, but we're saying, Lord, we need you to guide us if we're going to avoid the worst kinds of temptations. We're reminding ourselves that if we find ourselves in these bad circumstances where we know we're vulnerable, it's not because God led us there. It's because we allowed ourselves to go there. So it means trusting God to lead and guide us and admitting that we need it in order to avoid undue temptation and trial. Lord, lead us not into temptation. It means don't let us go there and help us not go there. And I don't think we should change the way it's translated in the Bible. And so in all of this, what I think God is saying is this. It's not just about certain words, but we should preserve these words. We should say these words. We should let them guide us. But they are an example for how God is leading us into a life of prayer. So let's say that together. God leads us into a life of prayer. It's not just a one-time event. It's a way to move through the world, leaning on God, trusting him, and having his direction in all things. When you think about how glorious this is, this example Jesus has given us, why would you start any day any other way? Amen? This is the richness that's available to us. And so I hope that your prayers are truly Christian prayers. Because anyone can reach out to the heavens to get help with their needs when they're feeling desperate. But Christians can call God Father. Amen? Christians know to pray first for him to be glorified and for his kingdom to come. Christians know to see their needs in that context and to understand that God wants to provide. And that as we're asking for the needs to be met, what we're really asking for is, Lord, help us to trust and go to you for what we need all the time. And Christians can pray, asking not just for forgiveness so they can get back to sinning, but Christians can come saying, Lord, help us to be people of forgiveness, that we are forgiven by you and transformed as we forgive others. Amen? And then Christians can reach out beyond that to say, Lord, guide us. Lead us away from anything that would cause us to stumble. I hope that's how you're leaning on God on a daily basis, because that's how you're going to get the best of what God has for you. So will you bow your heads? Father, we can come to you every day, and it's really a simple formula that we can follow. And really, even underneath that, it's just the whole attitude of the heart of humbly leaning on you. So, Father, if any of us have been leaning on anything else recently, thinking that we're all secure in other things, Lord, would you forgive us? And, Father, would you just prick our conscience and awaken us to how we need to trust you. Lord, help us not to let this all go to the side, but instead, help us to make it front and center, our relationship with you all throughout the day, seeing all of our needs met and seeing us grow and heal in you. If God's been talking to you this morning about the issue of prayer, making it a daily priority, or changing your priorities in prayer, then would you please raise your hand? And just acknowledge in this moment that you want to move into a more careful and Christian way of praying. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Right, and this morning, maybe there's one of these issues that you hung up on, and maybe it's even the issue of forgiveness. Can I ask you this morning, do some work in this area. Let God heal you, and don't let yourself be on the outside of this kind of prayer. Forgive us our sins as we also forgive. In fact, in this version, it says, for we also forgive. Kind of like, Lord, we've done it, so can you forgive us? But Father, most of all, help us in this moment to claim you as our Father and to move into a growing and personal relationship with you. We thank you for all of your rich blessings. And may we just have a hunger and a flame inside of us that can't wait for those moments alone with you each day. And may we keep that flame alive with that conversation as we're being led through the day to say, Lord, lead us on to the good things and help us to avoid the places we shouldn't be. And in that, may we come to love you even more. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Christian prayer is ordained by Jesus. It involves worship. It involves trusting God to provide for our needs, receiving and extending forgiveness, and seeking God's guidance constantly. But if we live in that rhythm, we are seeing the kingdom come in our lives. So are you ready to take a step in prayer? I hope so. Let's stand together. And let's say the Lord's Prayer again.